Well, all right. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? And we'll... celebrate. See, here's some pretty cool stuff. You know, you can pray the prayer of faith and you can receive healing immediately and walk out of there healed and completely whole. Or you can take communion and you can receive it gradually. Amen? The thing is don't give up. Don't stop. Just keep receiving of Jesus. Sometimes people start getting better and they get a 30-fold return. And then they get discouraged because they didn't get completely. Don't get discouraged. Praise God. Thank Him for the 30-fold that you got on His word of healing. And praise Him for the 60-fold and the 100-fold. And keep believing and keep taking the communion and keep receiving of His life and healing and wholeness. In Jesus' name, keep receiving it. You know? Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And he said that that's really the only reason that people are sickly and die early in the body of Christ is because they don't discern the body of Christ. Did you know that's the only diagnosis for sickness and death that Paul gave in the Bible? Because people didn't discern the body of Christ. So, if there's a reason, then there's an anti, right? So if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to be healthy and whole. Amen? So, we take this. This bread represents the body of Christ. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. This bread has been pierced. And He was certainly pierced for us. Everywhere He shed His blood, we got redemption for. His body was beaten and broken. And when He's on that cross, God laid the full wrath of His fiery judgment on Him. The wrath that was meant for us. Jesus took. His body is broken and we're taking this life of Christ into us. We're taking this for our healing and our wholeness. Jesus shed His blood. He did it on purpose. We owed a debt that we could not pay. But Jesus never did anything wrong. So when He shed His sinless blood on that cross, it set us free. Not only does His blood wash away our sins, but His blood protects us. And His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. And His blood also makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means we are in right standing with God. We stand in His presence as if nothing ever happened. That's the way He sees you. When the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, He sees you as if nothing ever happened. We're taking this in remembrance of you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank You, Father. Communion gets to be a fun and exciting thing when you do it biblically. When you mix the traditions of men in with it, it gets to be drudgery. But we like freedom in Christ. We stand fast, therefore, in our liberty. Amen. Well, are we having children's church today? Or are you staying here with me? You know, that's always seems to be the common answer. I'd rather hang out with Miss Connie than me. Open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this day that we have to celebrate you, celebrate the resurrection of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. We thank you for everything that he has done for us. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. And we praise you for all the blessings that you will bestow upon us. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. He shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we thank you for that. Now we can confidently open up your word and learn of Jesus. We can learn how to operate in this kingdom the way you desire us to. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And Jesus told us to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. Now, faith sometimes can be kind of a hard thing to figure out for some people. And it can seem like sometimes a hard thing to attain to. But don't forget these words. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When you do that, when you learn of Jesus, faith is going to happen to you. Too many times we get this word faith as something that we've got to attain to, we've got to strive for, and if we do this and do this and do this, we're going to have faith. But faith is a response to something Jesus has already done for you. When you see Jesus in his grace, faith is going to happen in your heart. Amen? Now, what we're going to study here for a while is something that I learned. You know, I try to tell people, build your house when the wind's not blown. You can build your house in a storm, but it's a lot easier if you build it before the storm hits. I learned these lessons in the storm. The tornado hit. I had to build this in the storm. And my friends had scattered. There was one or two that still believed in me. One of them came walking in these doors one day. She came in here just to see me. She had been out on some kind of an adventure, and she came here because she wanted to go to church here. Yeah. She's a true friend. Now let's go over here to Psalm chapter 23. I absolutely had to get a firm grasp on faith. So I started looking and looking and looking. And I finally started right here at Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at that verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I don't know how many funerals I've been to, and that was the psalm. They read Psalm 23 every time. And you would think that that psalm is meant for the heavenly by and by. But did you know that there's no enemies in heaven? There are no enemies in heaven. The devil don't get to go there. There's no enemies in heaven. So this psalm is for right here and now. This psalm is for right here and now. When you're dealing with faith, we need to know with whom it is we are dealing with. And have that settle in your heart. It's not enough to know about Him. We must know Him, Jesus. We need to know Him as our good shepherd. Sometimes, you know, people can go to church all their life and know about Jesus. Muslims know about Jesus. But they don't know Him until a man gets born again. You're not going to know Jesus. You may know about Him. But Jesus said that a man must be born again. Romans chapter 10:9-10 tells us how that happens when we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life. And we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. That's the born again experience. You get brought from death unto life. Amen? Then we start to know Him. The way we start to know Him is to learn of Him. Amen? Psalms chapter 23 is the John 10:10 of the Old Testament. We must realize that it is God's will and desire for us to live the abundant life. It is His desire for us to live the abundant life. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. That's what God wants for you. You need to settle it in your heart right now that God did not create you to just get by. Amen? He did not create you to just have enough. He created you to have an abundance. You are His child. And He wants you to have more than enough. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And it's our job to belly up to that table and receive of His goodness. Whatever it is that you may need, it's already been paid for at the cross. Amen? It's not something that you're going to earn. It's something that you're going to receive. It's yours. It's your blood-bought heritage to receive of His goodness. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. Think about that for a second. The Lord is my shepherd. This is one of the Jehovah titles in the Bible. It's Jehovah Roi. That title describes who He is. The Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The doctrine of supplying lawful wants as well as needs is taught in both testaments. God wants you to be abundantly supplied. Amen? He wants you to have more than enough. I'll tell you how much He wants you to have more than enough. He put His own Son on the cross to meet that need. All of them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, you should say that every once in a while. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Too many times, people will say, well, the Lord will meet your need. Well, the Lord will meet your wants abundantly and above all that you could ever ask or think. Well, He put His Son on the cross. And then He gave you the authority to write checks on His name. Too many people have been walking around writing these 50-cent checks. You're not being humble. You're not being humble. He put His Son on the cross so that you could have more than enough. Amen? Look at Psalms chapter 34, verse 9. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Fear the Lord, there is honor the Lord. Revere the Lord. Don't be afraid of Him. He doesn't want you to be afraid of Him. He wants you to run to Him like He's your daddy. I'll tell you something about shepherds. I grew up in sheep country. And there was still some of those big, long canes. You see. And those sheep would run out into these bogs. They'd get out in the mud and you'd have to go rope them. Well, some of the sheepers would have a cane and they could reach out there and grab that sheep and drag him to safety. Amen? And they had clubs to ward off wolves. Rods and staffs. But none of those tools were ever intended to harm a sheep. God will not break your leg to teach you a lesson. Not going to happen. He will not make you sick to teach you a lesson. You know, I don't know how preachers get so off track on this. God is not going to harm one of His precious children to teach him a lesson. He is a good shepherd. And Jesus gave His life so that you could be well. Amen? Verse 9 says, no want. There's that word again. No want. The doctrine of no want to believers is one of the most clearest and most comprehensive doctrines of Scripture. One of the most clearest declarations in the Bible. In view of the simple and complete promises, the only excuse for not having every need and want met within the bounds of Scripture is unbelief and ignorance of truth. See, sometimes people just get taught wrong. They don't know. You know, what you don't know will hurt you. If you don't know that healing has already been paid for you, how are you going to receive it? If you don't know that provision has already been paid for you, how are you going to receive it? If you don't know salvation has already been paid for you, how are you going to receive it? You know, sometimes there's people standing behind pulpits like this every Sunday. They're so full of it, they just need to go somewhere else. Amen? You know, there's people standing behind pulpits every Sunday that lie through their teeth. They pick up the traditions of men and the doctrines of devils and preach it from the pulpit. There's some that'll tell you that miracles were done away with. They were good for when Jesus was here and the apostles, but then the apostles went away. But don't expect much now. The apostles didn't go away. We still have apostles. Actually, my friend went to preach at a big church, one time thousands of people. And he was getting ready to preach. And the head pastor come back there and said, "We do not preach salvation in this church." So he preached born again. You know, but how are the people going to know without somebody teaching them the truth? When you learn the truth, Jesus said, when you know the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. So we're here to understand that Jesus, our good shepherd, is here to help us. Amen? To take care of us. Look over to Psalms chapter 84. Oh, but y'all, but when I read this stuff, it's like I start getting more blood flowing through my chest. I start getting a little, I just get a little more excited when I hear what Jesus has done for me, what he's doing for me. Amen? When it's not something that I'm trying to earn, it's just something that Jesus did and he gave it to me. Psalm chapter 84. Verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." How about that? He will not withhold any good thing. There we have it stated again, that God will supply wants as well as needs, every good thing, and no evil thing. See, too many times people get confused. They don't know the difference between the blesser and the curser. It seems like people would know the difference between God and Satan. But they don't, because they run around when something happens, they say, "God did this to me because I did this. God did this to me because I didn't do this. God gave me this sickness to teach me a lesson." They blame God. They need to go back to John chapter 10:10. Always remember this. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the devil. He's the thief. If it's stealing your health, that's the devil. Stealing your finances, that's the devil. If it's stealing your relationships, that's the devil. Now, here's something. Come on in, folks. There's a curious thing. There's a picture floating around of this lion laying there sleeping. And this monkey has grabbed him a stick, and he's sneaking up on this lion. And he's going to hit that lion with that stick. People are the same way. I've noticed people will poke trouble. Sometimes people are their own worst enemies. I mean, honestly, people will do things that are bad for them. And it shortens their existence on this earth considerably. But it's not God doing it to them. God didn't light that cigarette and put it in your mouth. God didn't tell you to drink a fifth of whiskey every night. You know? God didn't tell you to eat. I have a hard time with this. I pray over my food, you know, and I believe that God has blessed everything, you know, but there's some people that believe that you should never eat a bottom feeder ever. You know, like a clam, a crawdad, or catfish, none of this stuff. I eat every bottom feeder that crosses my path. But I receive it with thanksgiving, and I pray over it. Amen? You got to understand this. The Mediterranean diet is a lot of healthy food. But you understand that Jesus healed a lot of people that were on the Mediterranean diet. It's not the diet that's going to keep you healthy. Eating healthy is a good thing. It's the blood of Jesus that is going to keep you healthy. Amen? It is Jesus that is your Savior. It is not your effort. Exercise is a good thing. It's Jesus that is your Savior. Amen? Jesus is the one that keeps you healthy. That's why we take communion every Sunday. We do it on purpose. We release our faith in it. We receive His goodness. We got to understand, though, God will supply your wants as well as your needs. Every good thing and no evil thing. God is not the bad guy. He's on our side. When trouble hits, we need to understand that He's on our side and He is our answer. Amen? Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask them?" Now when you're reading that, don't ever consider yourself evil. You're not evil. You got to understand, when you're reading the Bible, who's talking and who they're talking to. When you get born again, you are no longer evil. Period. Okay? But Jesus was talking to a lot of people that weren't born again. He was talking to the Pharisees and scribes. Amen? They didn't believe in the circumcision of the heart. They believed in the circumcision of the flesh. And they were trying to count on their own righteousness to carry them to heaven. But Jesus here was making it clear about a couple things. It gives us some insight into the infinite fatherhood of God and the certainty of answered prayer. Have you ever thought about God, your Father? See, here's how you take it to a personal note. When the more we know Him, the less we'll call Him God, the more we'll call Him Father. Father, you've made it personal. When you start your prayers with Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, what happened? You've taken up your place that Jesus appointed you to. sonship. Amen. A servant will say, God, I ask you to do these things. A son will say, Father, I ask you to do this. Amen. Jesus never once ever addressed his Father as God until he got on the cross and God turned his face from him and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which just means, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the first time he ever addressed him as God. And it was the last time. He was forsaken. Now you're accepted. That's the good news of the gospel. You're in. You are a child of God. That's what you need to understand. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. The Bible tells us that as many as he gave the power to become sons of God, he also can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what's important. That is important to know that we can be led by the Spirit of God on a day-to-day basis. We can have that personal one-on-one relationship with our Father. If you ever want to know how things are supposed to be, go to the beginning. Go to the garden in Genesis. God had created Adam, placed him in the garden, and Adam had control over everything, and there was nothing wrong. And evidently, the Bible tells us that God walked with Adam in the cool of the morning. So they walked side by side. They walked together. They had this personal one-on-one relationship. And God trusted Adam so much that he gave him dominion over everything. And Adam named all the animals. And you cannot find one place in the Bible of God ever changing one single name of any of those animals. How much he trusted him. You think a long-legged, yellow-spotted thing needs to be called a giraffe? Then it's a giraffe. He didn't say, no, I intended that to be an elephant. Well, he let Adam decide. That's a giraffe. That's the kind of personal relationship that he wants with us. And it took him thousands of years to work it through and get Jesus on that cross so that Jesus could take our place so that we could take his place and be in the presence of God all the time. This is how faith happens in your heart. When you see what Jesus has done for you, faith will be a reaction. Amen? Heaven tells us to ask. The idea here is literally to demand something that is due one because of family and redemptive rights. You have to understand, God has invested a lot into you. He invested his son, the shed blood of Jesus, into you. And he expects you to take your inheritance seriously. You have these family and redemptive rights. It is God's will that we ask and get what we want. Oh, that tears a lot of religious people up. When I say that you can have what you want. No, he'll meet your needs. I said, okay. How many moms do we have in here? How many dads do we have in here? How many of you, when your little baby child was just getting about ready to start riding a bike, and he said, Dad, can I have a bicycle for my birthday? How many of you actually sat Junior down and said, do you really need that? Well, I want one. Do you really deserve that? How many of you, when Junior came in, and you made his favorite kind of cake, and he come in there and said, oh, I love that cake. Thank you, Mom. Thank you so much, Mama. How many of you said, do you really need that? No, you said, how about some ice cream? I mean, be honest. You want your kids to have some fun things. You just meet their needs regardless. But you want them to have some fun stuff too, man. You want them to have that cool bike. You want them to have some really fun toys. Amen. You ain't seen nothing. We're talking about Jehovah Roy, the good shepherd, the one who came up with this agape love, the one that come up with this abundant lifestyle that he wants you to live in. Amen. The one that put his son on the cross so that you can walk in these things. You can have these fun things. Amen. He wants you to have fun things too. Amen. Not just what you need. He said, yeah, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But also, he said he has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. All means all, by the way. Did you know that? You can have fun stuff too. It's God's will that we ask and get what we want. Now look at verse 8. There's a curious thing here. And you should circle these two words. Verse 8 says, For everyone that asks, everyone. I mean, all y'all, not just preachers, not just pastors, not special anointed people, everyone. The Bible says, the reason you don't have it is because you don't ask for it. Amen? Everyone, no exception to the rule for anyone. If there is, it is because of the failure to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Everyone that asks, receives. When you ask according to the, there was like three miracles that just, during the praise reports, just popped up. Notable ones. The doctors' heads are spinning over a couple of them. What happened? We asked God for a miracle. What God did? Ah, you want a miracle? Here, I'll just roll out a couple of them for you. That's the way it is. If we don't ask, how are we going to receive? Jesus paid for it on the cross for us. Our job is to receive it. Amen? We didn't do anything special either, did we? We just asked God for it. Jesus made it simple. See, the Pharisees, they had things so bound up down here. I mean, people just couldn't deal with it no more. Jesus got down here, and he made it simple. He talked to fishermen about catching fish. He talked to sheep herders about herding sheep. He talked to carpenters about cutting boards. He talked to farmers about sowing seed. He made his kingdom a reality in a way that we could understand it. If you're ever reading and somebody's preaching to you and you're trying to learn something and it feels like you got to be a scientist to figure it out, just stop. Just stop. Jesus is not complicated. He made it simple for us. Amen? So the only reason for unanswered prayer to a Christian is unbelief. Unbelief is caused by wrong teaching. The promises are unlimited. So if there is a limitation in answer, there is a limitation of faith. Not of God's will or power. What do we need to do? We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. So when we open up the Bible, we read something, this is okay. If you read something and you don't understand it, don't just write it off. Don't just say, well, that's not for today. I don't need that. Just say, I do this. Man, I don't understand this. But Holy Spirit, when it comes time for me to need that, will you show it to my heart? Because my tiny mind can't get wrapped around this one. I hope he shows me some things. There's some things that I'm believing him to show me. Because I would really like to experience them. Just because I want to try it. Walking on water would be pretty cool. Did you know my wife walked on water? True story. It was 20 below. But she walked out on water. She made me stop. We were driving and she made me stop. I said, what is wrong with you? And she got out of the pickup. Went trotting out there on that pond. Said, I always wanted to walk on water. She was a Texan, and it took me a little while. First time the ice showed up out there. It had been cold for a little while. There was ice out there on that pond, and she wanted to walk on water. And I said, you just keep your little feet in this pickup. Don't you let me catch you anywhere near that ice. So why? So, well, it's not thick enough for you to walk on yet. So, you just stay here until I tell you it's okay. Then she got to go walk on water. Amen. But you know, there's things that we can do. We've never experienced it, but we believe it in the Bible. We just need the Holy Spirit to teach us a little more, get us caught up. We'll finish with this one. Go down to verse 10. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? How much more if wicked fathers see to it that their children get what they ask and that they are fed clothed, happy and prosperous, and healed and protected, and free from suffering, to the fullest extent of their ability, how much more will your heavenly Father do for you that ask him? Literally, he'll do good things for you. If deliverance from danger, preservation from evil, bodily healing and health, material prosperity, or any other answer to prayer is a good thing, then ask to receive it and no longer question the will of God in the matter. It is already his will, or this teaching is false. In my Bible, it's in red. I mean, Jesus said it. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us on his cross, in his death, his burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us right now at the right hand of God as our high priest, ever living to make intercession for us, the children of God, the saints. We thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us when he takes us out of here and completes our redemption. Father, we praise you for your word in our hearts. We thank you that your word will produce fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return on your word. But we will have fruit in our lives. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cookies and a fellowship and kids. Come on back and visit a little bit and get to know somebody.